You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state. This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Hello and welcome or welcome back to another episode of Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Alicia Thomas Weiss. Are we adding in the Weiss? We're still figuring it out, you guys. But I am so excited. I have a star on the call today. All right, y'all. She's a triple threat. Jimmy Awards finalist, attended Manhattan School of Music, was cast in Becoming Nancy, Gretchen in the national tour of Mean Girls. And when Jerry Mitchell, who choreographed Hairspray, La Cage aux Folles, and directed Legally Blonde, Kinky Boots, and Pretty Woman, went on what felt like a worldwide search for his Betty, for the Betty Boop musical, he found this gorgeous, talented starlet. Y'all, please help me welcome the star of Boop, Jasmine Amy Rogers.
Oh my goodness.
Hi.
Hi. Hello. That was such a nice little intro. Thank you.
No, my goodness. You're so welcome. And thank you for joining me today. It's so great to meet you, Jasmine. How are you? Yes. And where are you in the world?
I am fabulous. I'm so excited to do this. And I am in New York in my apartment.
Oh, right on. Are you always based here?
Mm-hmm. I am. Yeah. Now. Yes.
Where are you from? You're from Texas, right?
I am from Texas. I was born in Massachusetts, but my family's been in Texas since I was 11. So that's going on like 14 years. So I just say I'm from Texas in Houston.
Okay, that is so real. So I would love to hear your journey because it has been so exciting. Jasmine, as a fellow Black woman in the industry, it has been thrilling and exciting to watch your journey through this Betty Boop everything. How are you? I know you guys just finished your out-of-town tryout
in December.
How was it? Where are you at right now?
It was amazing. I kept saying it was like something that just kept getting better and better every day. Like the feeling is so out of this world, but it went so well. The audiences loved it. We had such a good time. Like there were no rough times. It was just like this smooth sailing, beautiful, beautiful, fun production we did. The only problem I feel like we had was the fact that the lights we were using were so bright. We were blinded during tech.
Really? Lights were too bright? I don't know if I've ever heard such a thing.
It was literally so bright, but I mean, it looked beautiful. But other than that, like there were no issues. It was gorgeous. It was a great time. And now that I'm back, I'm just like, because there's time before we go to Broadway. So I'm just like sitting in it and living in it. And I'm reading this book right now about Betty Boop, and I'm just over the moon. Like I can't wrap my head around it all the time. But it's really great.
It's really a beautiful way to like introduce you into like you've been around, you've done some things, but this is such a beautiful way to like introducing Jasmine Amy Rogers like to the scene. Like you're going to make such a splash when it gets to Broadway, and like leading up to it, I feel like I heard about the casting of like they can't find their Betty. So when you went in for it, did you know Did you know Betty? Was it instant, like, oh, I know who this character is, or mm-hmm. did she have to make herself known to you?
I think it was a little bit of both. And I definitely had like the bare bones of who she was. And I went in there and the scenes, like, I think I really kind of felt them and felt her energy right away. And so that was always like easy, quote unquote, for me. it was definitely like the movement and the physicality of her that was kind of like harder to find. And then as time went on, I obviously like found more depth to her, as you do, but it was definitely a mix of both, where I was like, I know that this is right. This is so, so right.
Yeah.
And how do I bring like confidence and like nuance to this as I'm going in? But it took me a while to find it, but I did. And because at first I was in for it and I got cut. And like,
which is crazy. Like, you're right there. She's right there. She's right there.
It was heartbreaking. And I remember, like, I went back to tour because I was doing Mean Girls at the time, and everybody was like, everyone was rooting for me. And, you know, when I didn't get it, I went back and I was like, that's so sad. But then, like, you know, time went on. And once we were done with tour, I was back in for it. And I like begged to get back in. And the rest is history.
Having to beg to get back in. Y'all, your girl really is big. Right here.
Right. Like, not really big, but I mean, they were like,
I know what you mean.
Like my agents, I heard people auditioning for it literally in, where was it? Where's that? Pearl. In Pearl, I heard people singing the songs and I was like, I was like, oh, are they still looking? And I messaged my agent. They were like, oh, well, they know you. And so we'll see. And I was like, please, 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 please. And so they let me come back. And then
Jasmine,
just,
I have
like,
a question for you.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
Do you think, if you didn't reach back out to your agents, if you didn't make your voice heard, if you didn't like that internal, like, but I just feel like I mm-hmm. need to be in that room. Do you think if you didn't do the follow-up that this would have, like, what do you?
Honestly, I have no idea. I'm one of those people that likes to believe like the universe always has a plan and that plan will always find its way. But I don't think it would have been as smooth if I hadn't been like, oh, smooth. I went in like 6 times, but I mean,
wow.
If I hadn't been like, get me back in there, because I think half of the team had kind of crossed me off their list because they're like, well, we already saw these people. And I was like, I just need to be seen one more time. Cause I knew if I could get back in there, it would go well. Yeah.
Oh, you know, and I have not gotten to see you on the stage yet, but just off of the Instagram, the energy that is coming off of the screen, it feels so special. I've told my husband about you. I'm like, I don't know how you turn this cartoon character into like personified into a human form, but if you can, this is it. This girl's doing it. Like, it feels so good. Like, oh, there she is.
Yeah.
There she is. Okay, so you've worked with Jerry Mitchell before, right?
Becoming Nancy. That was my first ever professional job. We went to Atlanta and it was out of town. It was crazy. And
your first professional job was with Jerry Mitchell?
Yes. Right. We're out of college, like college dropout was like, what am I gonna do now? I was like, I gotta book something, and the universe had a plan and they put me in Jerry's hands, and I'm still with him now and I love him so much. But it's, yeah.
I wanted to ask you, how is it working with him? Like, he's a legend.
He is, but he's also just like a very down to earth person. He's so sweet. He's so caring. Like, he really looks out for me in a way that is irreplaceable, because this industry is a lot, but he's like, if you ever need anything, I'm here. If anyone ever says anything to you, I'm here. Like, let me handle it. He's good. He's so good. I love him so, so much. Yeah. He's the best.
I think like it does take a special like environment to be able to like create and like almost like having the permission to like fail so that you can make choices and figure out what works and what doesn't. You're literally trying to bring a cartoon to life.
Right.
Like, you're gonna have to try a few different things before you can Right. And so it seemed like the cast was awesome, like the environment around you, but did you feel like that safe space to try? Like, do you ever feel like scared to try things in front of people for
All
the
the
first
time.
time?
All the time. Like, I feel scared to try things in front of myself sometimes. Like, because there's that, like, that inner, like, oh my gosh, embarrassment that you get sometimes, but you're like, this is what we do. So I definitely, there was a safe space. And it was because it was so goofy at the end of the day, like, it was always like fun. And it was like, no matter what you tried, you were going to find out if it was right or not. So there was nothing to lose. And then we had the Fleischers there who are run the Betty Estate and
What?
are the yes. They're the Fleischers. So Max and Dave Fleischer were the original like creators of Fleischer Studios and Betty Boop. And Dave Fleischer's like no, his great grandson was in with us in the room like every day. It was amazing. Yeah.
So, has anybody talked about, like, 'cause I know, like, on the outside, we grew up with white Betty Boop. But
Yeah.
the original Betty Boop is based on.
Yes. Oh my God. This always happens to me. So people, I'm like, people ask me, oh, Esther Lee Jones, I believe is
A
her full
black
name.
woman. A
Yeah,
black
baby
woman.
Esther. Yeah. From Chicago. And she was the first person that really originated that like that baby boop scatting style. And then other people, of course, like took it and made it their own, quote unquote, and that eventually ended up inspiring Betty. So yeah, it's really exciting and like especially when I went to Chicago, the black community there is so strong. They were so excited to just see like a black person, a black woman playing this role that a lot of them grew up with and loved, or their parents loved. And they came out in droves. It was like they may as well have been like my family. Like they were so
Wow.
excited. It was so amazing.
I
Yeah.
have goosebumps, and I know, like, it's not on Broadway yet, but I feel like it's destined to be. It's coming, you
Oh,
know.
yeah.
So, from your experience so far, is it what you thought it would be?
It's more than what I thought it would be. It's perfection. It's you know, it's when you're a little girl and you have like these dreams of what your life will be like, this is bigger than what I could have ever imagined, I think. I always think like I had these dreams, but I think there was a definitely a part of me that didn't think they were necessarily going to come true. And now that they are, like
It's
it's the
like,
most beautiful thing that just keeps happening over and over again. And I'm just like so grateful. Like
your
yeah.
smile is going to light up Times Square. I'm so
Oh,
excited. I'm like, you're lighting up my whole, I'm just in my little closet right now, and you're lighting up my whole entire closet.
thank
Can I
you. Oh my
ask you
gosh.
about your experience with the hair? You posted something on
Yeah.
Instagram. Do you mind if I read it? It's
No, yeah,
positive.
go ahead. Oh, yes.
I mean, everything on your page is positive, but
Yes.
you said there's a level of care and a special touch that only one black woman can give to another. How do I say her name? Sabana?
Sabina.
Sabina?
Yes.
Sabina Stiles was one of the first people to bring our Betty, my Betty, to life. She did it with a style and grace that was jaw-dropping. Hair means so much to a lot of us, but no one understands a black woman's hair quite like another black woman, and their presence makes all the difference to us. They're severely lacking in the theater world, but you see the difference it makes when we add them to our teams, have them design, working behind the table alongside the creatives, making them the creatives. Beautiful things happen. There's a reason and everyone that works with Sabina calls her Ma because she takes care of every person she comes across. She made everyone look and feel stunning. No attention to detail was spared. For me, hair and character design enlightens my entire performance. To feel beautiful like that is irreplaceable. Thank you, Sabina, for your soul and expertise. We love you. Wow. I mean, But like, let's be honest, it feels good. Like when it makes a difference going on stage, feeling like you look the bomb versus you look like a bomb. It changes your performance. It's like, is that just me? Like,
no, it is not just you, because you feel it. Like that's like, especially as Black women, like our hair is a part of us in such a special way. Like you don't even have to see it. You can feel when your hair is jacked up.
You swear. Jeez. And don't take the thing out of the bag and just plop it on my head before you've styled it. My feelings will be hurt.
Correct. But Sabina, like, she's just this ethereal, like, grounded entity of a woman. And she took care of every single person, no matter, like, of course, of race or anything like that. But, like, she had this extra touch of care for the Black woman, because we do need a little bit extra when it comes to hair. You know, like, it can be a lot on us, on our scalp and on our hair.
On our edges.
Yes, on every day. And she just made sure that, like, we were cared for. And, like, for opening night, she built me a wig. Like, she literally hand-built a wig for me that I could wear every day while we were going through. Yes. It's up there. I have it still to this day.
What?
Yeah. She was like, I'm just going to build you a wig so, like, you don't have to worry about your hair every day. And I was like, she's like literally there. I've never met anybody like her. And then like for opening, she made sure all of our hair looked good. She styled all the Black women's wigs and made sure we looked.
You guys looked phenomenal. You guys, everybody looked great.
And she was no small part in that. Like she was.
So the shows that you've done, okay, this is like a general question. Do you usually feel seen? Have you ever felt not seen in a production?
I think I've been very lucky that it's never been too out of control or anything. When I did Frances in Becoming Nancy, I had a beautiful, beautiful curly wig that I loved, and the hair team was amazing there.
Right. Great.
And I've been very lucky that to work with people that at least understand the way a wig would kind of look on a Black woman.
Yeah.
And there were definitely times where I had to fight and say, I don't feel like me as this character. And it took a long time. Yeah. It took a long time to get like a change. And I was hoping for like a texture change, but we didn't get that. But they worked with me to make sure we could have a style change. And that meant a lot to me. But it did take a little bit of pushing.
When you had to do that, like, were you able to gather your confidence to do that? Because I know you had to be younger than you are now. Like, to be able to speak up and advocate for yourself, that can be kind of tough, depending on the situation. Like, how did you navigate speaking up for yourself while probably trying to not step on toes?
Like, right. Honestly, it was hard. I definitely waited until I'd been there for a while before I said anything.
Okay.
And I think it was like little things that like I would just like little conversations that we had where I'd bring it up and mention it to people I felt safe around. And then definitely like feeling supported by the other Black women in the cast who are kind of like, no, you should say that if you feel that way. And like one of my best friends to this day, she's also my roommate, was like instrumental in being like right there beside me while I had these conversations. And it was scary, definitely like building up to have them. But once they had them, it felt so freeing, because people were like, oh, yes, let's do that. I'm sorry we didn't do that before. I'm sorry you didn't feel seen before. Let's fix it. I really, really appreciated that.
I feel like sometimes it does take like those hard conversations of like, if you can just gather the confidence to say what you need to say, and you're able to say it in that grounded way and not like attacking anybody's character, you're just saying what you need to say. The other side of it is, in my experience, has always been so much more beautiful. It's just, do you have the confidence to say what you are losing sleep over?
right. And like,
it can be hard.
It can.
Your braids right now are so beautiful. They're so fresh. I see a little baby hairs, girl. How do you usually wear your hair in a protective style when you're not in a show? Like, how do you usually wear your hair? I see the braids now and they look good.
Thank you. I usually just wear my hair out. That's kind of natural, like my thing. Yeah, natural. I'm a wash and go girl.
Come on, wash and go girl.
Yes. I cut like all of my hair off 2 years ago now. And I'd done it before when I was in high school as well. So it's like still growing back and like getting to the length it was before I cut it off. But I love wearing my hair out. I love like a little fro, a wash and go, or like a slick back. I'm known for a slick back ponytail or a slick back bun. Yeah.
I have kind of so many questions. Okay. I want to get to how do you slick your hair? This is okay. Don't let me forget. How do you slick it all the way back? Because get it. Look, my I have a lot of texture in here, and to get it all the way slick and to stay is it's quite a feat. It actually never happens. So there is that question. But then I also want to know, why did you cut your hair? Do you like it short? Do you love a fresh start? Is it empowering? Like what? What is that? Because it takes, that's an active choice if you're growing your hair out and then you cut it off.
For sure. So the first time I did it, it was because I had permed my hair and I wanted to fresh start. The second time I did it, like 2 years ago, it was because I had had like the most traumatic 2 years of my life and my young life. And I was like, I think I need this hair off of my head.
Whoa.
And I was in this moment where I was like, I think this is a piece of like the past 2 years I've lived through. I think I need to cut it off and start fresh. And I was about to start a new show and I was like, let's just do it. And I cut it all off and had like super short hair. And it was very freeing. Of course, there's always moments where you're like, oh, I miss my long hair, because like, especially as women, like that's the way people are used to seeing us. And that's the way we're used to being accepted by people. But it is so freeing to just take it off. Yeah. And then I actually ended up buzzing it off.
What?
Yeah, I did. And I was like literally like buzz head bald for. And I remember like the first day I did it, my wig flew off my head. Well, it didn't fly off my head. It was holding on by the grace of God. Yeah.
No.
But
everybody on stage with you, like.
I was like, I'm so sorry.
Like this.
Yeah. But, right. But it needed to happen. I needed to cut it all off. And now it's just been growing back. But yeah.
That is empowering. And I feel like a lot of women think about it. I've been too afraid to do it. My husband's like, don't cut your hair. But, you know, sometimes you have to do what you got to do if you, you know, if that's where you are in your life. And you mentioned you like, perming your hair back in the day. Is that how you grew up? Like, what is this journey? And when were you like, I'm gonna not do that?
Right. So I always grew up straightening my hair.
Me too.
My mother grew up straightening her hair. Yeah. And like all through high school, I straightened my hair. And then my junior year, I think I got like a pixie cut kind of a thing. Cause I was working on a show and in school, and my director was like, oh, it'd be easier if your hair was shorter. And I was like, okay, I wanted to change my hair anyway. So I got a pixie cut, and in that pixie cut, I got a perm. And I loved it for a while, but it, of course, it's hard to maintain, especially like you wake up for high school at 5 a.m. trying to get your hair to lay down in the back, and it's not fun. So I decided, I was like, this has to get off my head. And so my best friend and I, we both went and we both did a big chop because she had grown up perming her hair. And
you,
we both
and
together,
your best friend.
Yeah. We went to the barber shop, like the man's barber shop, and we're like, can you cut our hair for us? And they were like, yep. And they did. Yeah. It was wild. And we came back to school. Everybody was like, what? But we looked so cute. Little cute ball heads.
I mean, okay, in your defense as well, your face is really symmetrical and visually stunning. So you can get away with whatever you want to put on your head or take completely off. You have such a beautiful face.
So do you. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's lighting and makeup. There's maybe even a filter on Zoom.
No.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, wait. So do you usually do box braids then? How long are they? I can't do the back.
Oh, they're pretty long. Oh. They're like waist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute.
Right.
She said they're to my butt.
Right.
I just did Betty Boop and it was at my ears and now it's to my butt.
Yeah. Literally. Oh my gosh. But I do love to do them. I literally had a set in right before this, and I usually don't do them back to back because my hair is a little fine. So sometimes that can be a lot of tension for me.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
These ones are pretty, like, I've had no issues, like no pulling in the front or anything like that. So I'm good. I really do like them. It's just easy. Like, it makes life so much easier.
Girl, yeah. You're
like, it's like refreshing.
You're tempting me.
Oh, have you ever done them?
Well, I've done like some faux, like I've done this podcast since the pandemic. And so I'm like, what are you doing? I'll try like the little hairstyles that people tell me. And so I like learned how to do some faux locks. Like I gave myself cornrows and then I put them in. But I've never gotten like box braids, singles with, you know, with extensions. I've never done that. And
I think you should try it.
Like not being in a show right now, I'm like, this is the time to do it.
It is. And there's so many people that do them and do them really well. And especially with the blonde you have in your hair. Ooh, so it'd be so cute.
Yeah, I would give my little blonde and my little blonde braids.
Yes. How is your blonde and she does the braids and they're blonde.
She does?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. The blonde is new for me, but it's kind of a vibe. And I'm like, I look in the mirror. I'm like, oh, I'm shocked. Every time I look in the mirror, because my hair has always been your color, and I just added this color. I'm like, who? Oh, that's me. Oh, I love that.
It's really cute.
Thanks. How was your wig prep?
it was very goofy.
What?
First of all, I can't braid. I cannot cornrow my own hair. I've tried. I don't have that. That wasn't a gift that God had.
So what is like, your wig prep, Jasmine?
So it's like these, it's usually like three or four big, like ugly, nasty braids that I literally pin back. Like I do two in the front, two in the back, and pin the two in the front back and pin the two in the back. And like, that's it. And I usually kind of like will redo them every day or every other day. But yeah. So
when you get to Broadway, are you going to request somebody to do your wig prep?
I think so. I think it's time. Because like, I just never found out like what the best thing for me to do was. And I've done cornrows before, but my hair is very fine. So it'd be given flat, which is nice. But also like, it kind of is given like, oh, this wig might fly off my head now. Right. And I do like the bands. I definitely do like the velvet band in the front and like some pop clips that in place because that's like easier on my edges and everything. But
the edges. I feel like especially as Black women, but I guess anybody as well, like I think it's important to change up the wig prep so that the pins don't get used to just going into the same over and over.
Yeah. I will say at the end of Mean Girls, I came home. Was it Mean Girls? Yeah, I had a bald spot in the back of my head for sure.
Where the mic
was?
Was
like a patch. No, it was down here at the nape of my neck.
Oh.
And it was because we were just putting them in the same spot every day. And I think one time, one of the pins went in kind of crazy and I just didn't say anything.
You didn't say anything?
Like, no, I guess. Right. And I did indeed have a bald spot for a little bit there, but it's gone now.
See, if somebody sticks my head, like if they draw blood, I will faint in the chair. I go like this. You trying to kill me? You trying to kill me back there?
God. Right. But luckily, I've had no issues like that since. And the hair team on Mean Girls was great as well. It was just one of those things like we were just so done.
Do you prefer to be wigged or wear your natural hair?
Wigged, I think, because sometimes your hair does not want to do the same thing every day, and that would make me feel crazy. I would be like, you know what? It's okay in my day to day life. My hair wants to be different today, but if I'm supposed to be on stage and my character has a look to their hair and it's jacked up, I can't have
what
it.
If it was a buzz? Would you wear your buzz cut on stage?
Oh yeah, I would do that. I would do that for sure. It'd be a totally different feel, but I would do it. Yeah.
Where are you now with your hair? Like, how are you feeling about being a natural versus growing up straight? How?
Yeah. I love it. It feels like me. Like, it feels like this is what I was supposed to kind of do. And I remember I had like a big fro for a while before I cut it off, like 2 years ago. And it felt like me, like I was known for it. And even in college, when I like had first, my hair was still growing out for the first time. It was like so fun to just have like beautiful little curls on my head for the first time since I was like a child. Like,
yeah,
these healthy, tight curls that I love. And I really love them. It's really beautiful.
Really is. Yeah, I feel that too. I feel like growing up always with straight hair, it's like, this is mm-hmm. what is beautiful. This is what TV says is beautiful. This yeah. is what I have to do to fit in. And I wish I knew what to do with my curls, but nobody around me knew what to do.
No. So. And my mom went natural after I did.
Cool.
So now we're both natural and she loves her hair so much. And she's got like long, long hair. Because her curls are looser, but she loves it. Like it feels like her. It feels like she looks. I mean, she black don't crack, but she looks younger. Like even younger now. Like she's younger, it's happier, fresher. It's great.
Okay, you said black. It don't. Okay. Mm-mm. Okay. Can you walk me through these baby hairs that you got? My edges are always furry, Jasmine. I have not done a baby hair moment since I was literally a baby. So how do you get them to lay down? How do you get them looking cute? Like, what is the strategy behind a cute baby hair moment?
I think a lot of it is because my hair is so fine. Like, I have a lot of hair, but it's very, like, the strands are very thin. So, like, my baby hairs just kind of, they just want to be down on my forehead. And then I just get some, like, some... edge control from like the beauty supply, you know, the if you see in the beauty supply, it's like comes in like all these different colors.
Yes.
I usually grab one of those. Yep. And I just do a little edge brush and comb them down. And they usually stay pretty well, depending on the edge control, but they just want to be down. I don't know. I'm very, I guess like if you want edges, I have like the lucky edge hair. I guess. But, I mean, like it's little things like you don't need them. And a lot of people, they're like, I can't get them to lay down. I'm like, then don't, because that's not what they want to do.
Wow. That.
Right.
That. Right. Because I'm at the point where it's like, how do you know what is enough? Because, you know, some people be doing like the whole like art.
Right.
They do the mm-hmm. whole art with it, which is, yes. I mean, it can be a vibe.
Right. Whatever little hairs don't want to go back. Like tiny hairs don't want to go back into whatever I'm doing. Those are the little hairs that get swept into the little swoops.
It's so cute. Okay. And then you got to walk me through, how do you slick down like ponytail? Especially mm-hmm. for me, I can get away with a high bun slick up, but I cannot do a low mm-hmm. ponytail. I struggle in this department, Jasmine. Help me.
Yeah. It's like, it's prep work. Like if I know I want to wear my hair slicked, I have to prep it the night before or like the day before. So I'll like get in the shower and like condition and like detangle and keep it like flat and back in a ponytail, like in a loose kind of thing. So it's all prepped. And then I let it dry like that. And then the next morning I like will slick on top of the work that I've already kind of set, but I have to do it like that or else it's not happening.
Okay, wait. So what I'm, okay, did I hear you correctly? You kind of make like a helmet, kind of?
Like in a way.
You do another layer of gel?
Honestly, sometimes it feels like that, but it's like, once I've detangled it in the shower and I've kind of like put it in the configuration of like, I want this hair to be down, the next day I do just gel the hell out of it. That's usually like I'll wear that style for like a couple of days or like a week or so, and then I'll like re-rinse it out or whatever. But yeah, sometimes there's a lot of gel on there.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm missing. So I'm like, here's some water and some like grease, But the night before prep of like training it almost. You know what? That is a thing. Like training your hair to do what you wanted to do. You said earlier on this call, I'm a wash and go girl. And if you aren't used to being a wash and go girl, sometimes it takes a while for curls to like get it.
Get what's going on. Yeah, for sure.
What's going on? And then once you do it a couple of times, it's like, oh, I know how to detangle into this.
Yes.
Oh, I know how to fall. And do whatever I need, like whatever that is. I'm like, okay, maybe it's the same thing. Because I was going through a period in the pandemic of like twist outs. And my hair loved a twist out. And right now my hair would not do a twist out.
Right.
But in 2020.
I've never been a twist out girly. I don't think I understand the mechanics of it. This was not meant for me.
Wait, how did you wear your hair in the pandemic? Is that when you shaved it?
No, I had it out in the pandemic. It was like, I usually would have my hair parted in the center, which actually I always part my hair in the center, except for like right now when I have these braids, to the point where when I did shave my head, you could see where my hair had always, like, when I, it was crazy. I was like, this is too much. Like the hair just naturally wanted to go that way now. Speaking of training your hair,
but
I just wore my hair out during the pandemic. It was, oh. Crazy. So, you know, girls, switch up that part sometimes.
You look good with the side part.
Thank you. It's a newer, I mean, I did it growing up, but I do like it. I do like it, yeah.
Okay, Jasmine, I'm about to let you go, but before I do, tell me what has been your biggest pinch me moment from somewhere in between dropping out of school to you're about to be all over Times Square on billboards starring in this huge Jerry Mitchell musical. What has been your biggest, like, holy crap?
Oh my gosh. You know what? It was the day after I booked the show. We just got together, like me and the team. So like Greg Barnes, Sabina, Jerry, Mikey Clifton, who did my makeup. And we just played around. They put me in, like, they brought a bunch of red dresses. They put me in a red dress that they're like, oh, we like this one. Let's put you in this one. And then they like prepped my hair. And then they played around with wigs. They brought a couple wigs. They're like, oh yeah, this is the style. And they, and then Mikey messed around with my makeup. And they just kind of like, we were like building Betty Boop, my Betty Boop, our Betty Boop together. And I think that was the most, like, obviously doing the show was insane, but I think that was the first moment I was like, oh wow, like this is something I get to do now. And it was irreplaceable.
Oh my gosh, have you heard anything about dates coming in?
We have a rough date of spring 2025, but it's coming.
Okay,
so
okay,
yeah, it's so exciting.
Okay, that feels like a okay. Well, I will be rooting you on. I will be cheering you on. I am so excited. Jasmine, you're such a joy. You're such a light, and your light couldn't be hidden for, like, God knew you have something so special, and it was only a matter of time before you get to share it with the world. So you've got people cheering for you who you know and who you don't know, and I'm excited to be a part of this journey in this small way, getting to ask about your story a little bit. And how can people find you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Jasmine_Amy_R. And I'm on Twitter, but you know, it's a little goofy over there, but it's something similar. I don't know what it is because I actually need to get kicked off of Twitter once. So yeah, so I had to remake it. It's a whole thing.
Wait, I'm sorry. You got kicked off of Twitter? I don't even want to know. I do want to know, but
right. It was nothing crazy. I made a joke about, like, it was after Barbie, and I was like, I think all the men should go extinct or something like that. And
they kicked you off?
They did. They were like, this is violent speech. I was like, what? It was crazy. I was like, somebody's out to get me. But I'm back on there, so.
But you know what, though? Twitter, I always used to say, I'm like, don't follow me on Twitter. I'm an asshole on Twitter. But you know what? Twitter is an asshole on Twitter. So it's a whole different animal over there. But okay, we got you on Instagram.
And then TikTok is Jasmine_Amy_R as well, I think. But
are you a TikTok? Are you a TikTok star?
No, I try, but I mean, I think I have like 10,000 followers.
Okay.
Wait, actually, I think I might be making that up. I'm not sure, but I'm not sure. I don't know. But I will like record a little something here or there every once in a while. Yeah.
How fun. Y'all, go follow Jasmine Amy Rogers. You're the bomb. Thank you for joining me today. You are such a joy and so fun and so down to earth. And so I'm excited for you. I'll be rooting for you. And thank you for spending this time with me today, Jasmine.
Of course. Of course. Thank you for having me.
And that wraps another episode of Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all, I'm so honored to have such great guests on this show. And if there's somebody who you want to listen to, please drop me a note on my Instagram at Salisha Thomas or at Black Hair Podcast and slip into those DMs and let me know what you want to hear, who you want to hear from. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast, rate it, leave a review, tell a friend, follow us on Patreon at Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all, I am so grateful that you are part of this community. It would not be the same without you. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode and most of these episodes. And shout out to you for listening. Y'all, my heart is so big and I feel so grateful. Thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. See you next week.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.